97.9 The Hill, WCHL, and UNC School of Media and Journalism present Sports Focus with Charlie Tuggle. Sports Focus, dedicated to in-depth examination of issues of overriding importance in the sports world. Each week, we'll discuss problems and look for solutions in professional, collegiate, and amateur sports. From Carroll Hall on the Carolina campus, here's your host, UNC Journalism Professor Charlie Tuggle.
Welcome to Sports Focus. Our topics today, the scandal that has rocked college basketball and declining viewership for the NFL. Our guest, Thomas Baker, Associate Professor of Sport Management at the University of Georgia, specializing in sport law and brand management. All right, so let's start with the Adidas college basketball scandal. Lots has happened in the past day or so. Louisville has fired another assistant basketball coach. The NCAA's Mark Emmert has named Condoleezza Rice, the former Secretary of State, to lead an initiative to fix college basketball. LA Times reports that 40 to 50 coaches additional might lose their jobs before this is all over. How big is this thing going to get?
I think it's going to get very big. And let's be very clear here. The problems that are so pervasive in college basketball in relation to the use of these go-betweens and the brokering of these athletes this is a problem that's existed for business more than a decade now, and it's just now coming to the surface.
I spoke to a guest last week who said, you know, what has Adidas done wrong? Adidas is not within the purview of the NCAA. Even these kids aren't yet, but the schools are. So where does all this lie with the NCAA, with the FBI, with the national courts?
I'll go beyond that. And it's a matter of opinion, I guess, but I would say that neither Adidas nor any of the coaches in this matter, in my personal legal opinion, have done anything legally wrong. What we have here are instances of NCAA rules that are being broken, and we have federal prosecutors in the Southern District of New York who seem to be linking NCAA rules to allegations of bribery and the Mail Fraud Act, or the Wire Transfer Act. And I'm not sold that those laws should have any application to these facts.
All right, so you're the second attorney who's said that to me. Then where did all this come from?
It comes from the FBI in the Southern District of New York, prosecutors therein. And this isn't the first time we've seen the Southern District actually use criminal law to enforce NCAA policies. They've done this before in a case called Norrie Walters and Lloyd Bloom versus Brent Fullwood.
All right, so tell us a little bit about that case.
Okay, in that case, very similar to this, we had instances of NCAA rules being violated with the payment of monies to athletes, and we saw there was U.S. prosecutors actually brought the Mail Fraud Act charges against those who were paying these athletes. And there the court said that they likened the NCAA to, well, they said it's a private association, they likened it to a cartel and found that it is cause for regret if prosecutors, assuming that persons with low regard for honesty must be villains, the use of criminal laws to suppress the competitive process that underlies cartels. And basically saying, just because you break NCAA rules doesn't mean you're violating the law.
All right. So if Adidas or these coaches or whomever isn't violating any law, then how does the Southern District of New York get involved in it in the first place? I'm really having trouble making that connection.
They're contorting law in a way to make it seem as if these persons are doing something illegal. I think this is a misapplication of law. I don't think what we have here is even bribery. Because if we look at bribery cases, especially even federal bribery cases, what we're looking at is public officials who are being coerced through payment to shift policy in directions that otherwise they may not. In that situation, we have a corruption of our political system that undermines our democracy. And I think we see far more of that in Washington that's legalized in the form of lobbying than what we see here. In this instance, what we have is a private association that has rules, and we have the FBI trying to, I guess, enforce those rules through the use of crimes that really aren't applicable. It, again, that's my opinion.
Okay, well, let's go with that and say that's the case, that the legally, what's the issue here? But ethically, it seems so wrong what is happening with these, as you said, these in-betweens.
Unfortunately, it's a natural byproduct of a system in which labor is suppressed while you have all this money coming in. And we have caps on athlete compensation that were not negotiated for through any form of collective bargaining, and they're just unilaterally imposed. And the imposition of these caps creates a secondary market within college athletics where this is natural, this is organic. And the only way to really stop it is to start paying college athletes, or at least allow them a seat at the table where they can negotiate their compensation.
Sports Focus. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Sports Focus with Charlie Tuggle. And now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sports Focus. We're talking with Thomas Baker of the University of Georgia about the scandal that has rocked college basketball. By the way, you can follow him on at DRTab3 on Twitter. So even though this seems to be more of an ethical thing than a legal thing, it does seem like, based on reporting from the LA Times and others, that a lot of people are going to get caught up in this and lose their jobs as a result of it.
Oh, absolutely. I think what we're probably going to see more than anything, I'm hesitant to think, based on Norby Walters, that we're going to see any of these individuals serve any sort of jail time. You know, I don't think we're going to see that. I could be wrong, again. But I think instead what we're going to see is this new commission and the NCAA kind of step into this a little bit more and try to really start forcing out these intermediaries. And I don't think that's a bad idea. I mean, I do see the ethical concerns here. The brokering of these athletes, especially some of the persons who are doing it, some of these individuals take the role of youth sport coaches, who act more as agents than they do actual coaches. And to that end, that's an ethical dilemma, and that's a problem that the NCAA should have started addressing a long time prior.
All right, so whether this is a legal issue or an ethical issue, I'd like to mention to you how one of the writers framed it and have you respond to that. This writer says this is the best thing that could have happened to college basketball because it reframes the debate about the amateurism facade that is the NCAA today.
I would say that's both accurate, and I don't know if I agree with parts of it. I agree with the overall sentiment. I do think this is good because it brings into play this debate as to whether these athletes are being treated fairly. But on the other hand, the way the FBI is doing it, by them engaging in this process and by federal prosecutors engaging in this process and trying to criminalize NCAA violations, I think it does more harm than good for the athletes, because I think it makes what's going on it makes the NCAA's policies more sympathetic to the overall population. And I could be wrong on that. That's just my sense. But I do think more people than not tend to think that when federal prosecutors and the FBI get behind something, that there's a reason for it.
All right. So we normally don't discuss two different topics, but because there are two big sports stories in the news, I wanted to take advantage of your expertise to also talk about the NFL. So Commissioner Goodell has said our teams should stand during the national anthem. That's, to me, feels a little bit weak from the NFL, which has, as we know, can be very stringent in its rules and guidelines.
Yes. This is a reaction to the fact that there's a public backlash against the NFL based on this, I guess you could say, this the taking of a knee by athletes, the protest, if you will. And the the NFL is starting to feel the pressure through loss of interest in their product. So this is a weak statement, because I don't think Goodell wants to come out against the athletes, especially after having stood by them against the president of the United States. But at the same time, this is his way of saying, listen, the NFL is not supportive of, kneeling during the national anthem.
Yeah, so the critics will say the only reason Goodell said this is because it's hurting the league financially.
I would tend to agree with them. And honestly, I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing, because that's his job. He is the steward of the NFL. He is there to represent the league, not necessarily owners, not even necessarily the players. His primary purpose is to make sure that he stewards the NFL in a positive direction.
All right, so this is a $14 billion league, the NFL. Very wealthy, one of the wealthiest leagues in the world, certainly in the United States. So the financial side of it is pretty important. And let's look at just a few numbers. The first 5 weeks composite ratings for the NFL are down 8% compared to last year and 18% compared to 2015. That can't all be what's called the Kaepernick effect. There has to be something else at play here.
I think so as well. What that something else is, I'll leave that to consumer, those who research consumer behavior in terms of interest in the NFL. But I don't know what variables are at play. I do think that the Kaepernick effect is part of it, but how much, we don't know. And at the same time, I think that, maybe this situation provides a good opportunity for the league to work with their athletes rather than against them, to find a way to allow their athletes to be political and speak out for things that they sincerely believe, but in a way that is less harmful to the league. There has to be common ground. And yesterday there was a joint statement issued by both Players Association and the league. And I like this type of cooperative behavior, because I think that common ground can be found.
Sports Focus will be right back.
You're listening to Sports Focus with Charlie Tuggle. And now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sports Focus. We're talking with Thomas Baker of the University of Georgia. We spoke about the big thing that's going on in college basketball, the scandal that's rocking college basketball. We're now talking about NFL ratings. Viewership is one thing, Thomas. Attendance is another. And though attendance is not off to the degree that viewership is, that's an issue as well.
Yes, although I do think we should focus more on viewership, because there's more money in viewership than there is in attendance.
Okay.
And I think that's where the league really feels the hit, is when viewership is down. That's going to influence the league's ability to go back to the bargaining table when these deals come up. And we're already standing at kind of a crossroads in terms of media right management, with so many pulling the cords and moving away from cable and satellite. We also have a situation in which, you look at ESPN and it's bleeding money, something's going to have to give in terms of media right management. And the NFL, it likes its position right now and doesn't want to see its bargaining power weakened.
Yeah, well, we've gotten to the point that advertisers are starting to say, hey, you're not delivering on the numbers. You know, the viewership numbers aren't there. We're not getting the bang for the buck for the advertising. Therefore, we're going to cut back on our advertising. So it's definitely a money situation. And it might get to the point that we can't pay, you know, the Raiders quarterback $25 million a year or, you know.
Absolutely. And that's why the athletes need to take note of this as well, because what they're engaged in right now, it is a protest, but who are they protesting? You know, when usually when you have concerted activity like this, where you have some sort of boycott in an employment setting, it's used as what we would call an economic weapon. You're trying to obtain something from your employer. But in this situation, what the athletes want to achieve has nothing to do with the NFL itself. The NFL is not in the power to correct the problems that are being addressed by this symbolic act. And if you're hurting the NFL in the pocket, you know, in their wallet, eventually that will affect the athlete and what they're able to negotiate for in their own deal. So in this situation, I think it would behoove everyone involved if common ground could be reached where the athletes can still be able to advocate for positions that they want to advocate, and the NFL can allow them to do so without taking a hit from the so-called Kaepernick effect, if there is such a thing as the Kaepernick effect.
All right, so Jerry Jones, owner of the Dallas Cowboys, basically has said, you don't stand during the anthem, you don't play.
Mm-hmm.
How do you balance allowing grown men to exercise their First Amendment rights against the financial interests of your team and your league?
In this situation, it's a complex labor law issue that also brings into play, you know, contract and collective bargaining. It's complicated. It's not easy. I don't think this is much a First Amendment issue because Jerry Jones is not a state actor. He's not representing the government. But yet there are First Amendment issues that underlie this subject, particularly when the President of the United States, who is a representative of our government, comes out and says these people should be fired or run out of the game. It's so muddy, the water over this issue, that it's not easy for owners like Jones and for the commissioner to manage. And it's also not easy for the players who do want to express themselves because they do have a pulpit and they do have a voice and they would like to use it.
All right. So we have a little more than a minute left. And I'd like for you to try to tell us, what do these two stories together tell us about the state of sports in America today? The issue, the ethical issues surrounding, funneling these players to specific schools to play college basketball, and players taking a knee during the national anthem and how that might affect the league that they play for.
Well, on one level, when you talk about the NFL, I think it's indicative of the fact that we're going through something, an era of time, an era of history that can only be related to the civil rights era. I mean, we have tensions are at the surface. We're going through another type of societal shift, I would believe, right now. I do think that, you know, with the protests, the marches and such. And I do think sport needs to take note of that because sport is such an important part of our society. As for the NCAA issues, this is the culmination of legal protections that have allowed the NCAA to behave in anti-competitive ways and manipulate the market for student-athlete services. Until that market manipulation is properly addressed, we're going to keep having problems. No commission, no FBI probe will be able to stamp out the problems that are underlying the charges and that we saw from the Southern District of New York. You know, the cheaters will just find new ways to cheat.
That does it for this edition of Sports Focus. Thanks to our guest, Thomas Baker, who you can follow on Twitter with Dr. Tab 3. Thanks also to producer Carol Bono. And as always, thanks to you for listening. Cheers.
Thanks to Richard Southall, Mark Nagel, and Deborah Southall at the College Sport Research Institute at the University of South Carolina for their research and guidance and for access to CSRI's international network of sources. Sports Focus is a service of UNC School of Media and Journalism.